So let me ask you a question. Are you thinking about cheating? This is part four and the final episode in our temptation series. And we're going to jump right in the middle of an episode already in progress. And by the way, Merry, Merry Christmas. So thank you for letting us into your homes, your cars, and most importantly, your ears. Now everybody listen up, because we've got something to say. Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what? Sometimes you're put in these situations and you could be innocent, in the right spot, at the right time, where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. You could be sitting in your car, minding your own business, waiting for your wife to walk out the store. And you look up and you notice a good looking woman is about to walk by. Notice she has on some kind of tight pants or something that's revealing how God created her in a very shapely way. Don't look. A lot of times we do a good job not looking initially. Think about this. You're sitting in the car. They're walking towards the car. You know they notice you. You notice them. You're not going to look. We do a good job of initially not looking. But then some of us get caught up in catching that rear view glimpse. And now we've put ourselves in position to where that rearview mirror point of view can get some of us in a whole lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. You stare in a rearview mirror too long, you'll find yourself sending that "Hey you" text or that "Hey stranger" text. Think about it. The only time we should be looking in the rearview mirror is if we're backing up. And in a marriage, we should never be backing up. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think you're making a great point. And I do well with this. I'm always refraining from looking, making sure I talk to my wife or have a conversation and, you know, sing a hymn, do what we need to do. I really am intentional that I try hard, do hard and do right by that. So I appreciate you sharing this. I mean, this is good.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I do have a question. What about when we're watching some of our favorite shows, TV shows, and our favorite movies? Do you look the other way then?
No. The reality is, when you are actually in that moment and somebody walking by, that is reality, right? So that's more hands-on. That is more of something that can actually possibly start with that person. However, the same rules apply, and you're right, when you're watching TV and it's somebody you see, it still creates those thoughts, those emotions that might be, I don't want to say taken out. I don't want to use that phrase, taken out, but that might cause you to initiate with somebody you do know. So, I mean, I think most of us know we don't look. And it's kind of like you're sitting there with your wife watching a movie and somebody beautiful is on the screen, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, I got a free pass. I don't have to look away. I can look all I want. And that's just like, I brought up Bianca Belair earlier. If you go to her Instagram page, like seriously, like I challenge anybody to do it. She was in a bodybuilding contest this weekend, and me and my wife follow her. And she posted, if you've ever seen people post the pictures of their bodybuilding contest pictures, they are, you know, they're dressed in very, very thin clothes, and they don't have many clothes on because they're trying to show the muscles in their legs, abs, arms, body, everywhere. And when I first saw it, I was like, good gracious alike. And I was like, man, I usually like her photos because she posts a lot of photos with her husband, who is also Montez. He's also a WWE superstar. And I was like, should I like this? Because I liked it. But I was questioning, should I like it? If that makes sense. And so I happened to notice that my wife had liked the photos. My wife is a Bianca Belair fan. And I was like, don't like it. Don't press like. Don't press like. And my wife came down the stairs about a few minutes later. And I said, did you see Bianca Belair photos? First thing she said was, yep, I was waiting to see if you would like it. I said, I passed the test. Because that's the first thing she said. She said, I know he saw these photos. I was waiting to see if he would like it. And she liked it just so she could go back easily to find out if I actually pressed like. So, I think sometimes when you are watching those movies, it does feel like a free pass sometimes to look. So,
yeah, I mean, there are those times when you're watching a show or a movie and, you know, something's going on, or even if it's a scene or something, sex scene too, you know, mm-hmm. and you're watching and, you know, and then you look at your wife, she's looking at you like,
yeah,
you know, so that's why I brought that up. I'm just asking. Josh, you want to answer that or expound upon that anymore?
Well, I'd like to go even further with that. You watch the movie, you know, it depends on what kind of relationship you have with your wife. You know, you can joke about it or whatever, But then you go too far and your wife have a feeling, well, dog, he don't look at me that way or I don't have the body she has.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know, women go through stuff. They just had babies and stuff. So they kind of feel, sometimes they have babies, they kind of feel some type of way about their body and stuff like that. Yeah. Or whatever. How do you deal with that?
I mean, because you got to be very careful because you don't want to put them in those situations. I don't know if you guys have experienced it, but I've been in situations where my wife is like, hey, you know, you talk about what's her name a little bit too much sometimes, even, and I'm not talking about people we know. I'm talking about famous people. Like, hey, you know, I noticed how you sometimes are head over heels for this person or can act that way. And then you're like, and they won't never say that necessarily. Sometimes they might say that, hey, you don't talk about me that way, or I don't really, in this state, maybe because I just had a baby or whatever it is, I don't have that body or whatever the case is. But then you start getting those emotions, man. I think that's why it is important to affirm them. I think Terrence brought this up earlier. Mm-hmm. Affirm them as much as you can. Terrence said, you know, there's a nice looking lady is about to walk by. He just started telling his wife how beautiful she is.
My wife's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you do that on a regular basis, man. Because you don't want, I mean, and again, going back to considering your wife's feelings, you don't want your wife to be sitting there thinking she's second to anybody. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't have married her if you thought she was second. You follow what I'm saying? So you don't want her to think that way. So I totally agree with that, man. 100%.
Yeah, man. And even you could be playing with her 1 week and then the celebrity or whatever. The next week is totally different.
Yeah.
Say the same thing over and over. Yeah. That lets you know you would never be able to understand a woman. you will never figure out a woman. I'm telling you, I thought I had it figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. totally agree. Totally agree.
Well, they keep you on your toes, man.
Man. Yeah. And you know what? I'll say this just to bring up a couple of more points. This episode is actually running a little longer than I thought it would, but this is good stuff, actually. It's real good stuff. One of the things that might help you in dealing with temptation is understanding relationship cycles and timing. Now, one of the best things that I think ever happened to me and my wife was actually a couple of years back, we was in college together and we took a course together. And it was communications. In that course, it talked about the cycle of communication and therefore the cycle of relationships. And depending on the philosopher or the professional relationship person, you know, they all have different cycles, or they all name the cycles different things. But we all know, for the most part, most agree that in that initial stage of a relationship, it's the honeymoon stage. It's the, oh, butterflies in the stomach, the googly eyes, the falling asleep talking on the phone type stuff. It's the, oh my gosh, I've never ever in my life could dream of a person like this, and all those things. And that is a, there's nothing wrong with that. You want that honeymoon stage to last as long as possible. You want it to be as good as it can be, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But you also have to understand that is only a stage, a temporary stage in the relationship cycle, and it's not going to last forever. Come on, good time. Let's go. All right, listeners, we will be right back with more from this episode of the Groom's Room podcast. But first, if you have any thoughts, any ideas, suggestions, or questions, please send us an email at thegroomsroompodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Groom's Room Podcast. And lastly, please don't forget to subscribe and like our podcast on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you so much. And now back to this episode of The Groom's Room Podcast. So you start out with the relationship stage, then some say you begin to move to what is called the power struggle, or the struggle of the dynamics in the relationships of how now if we make it out of the honeymoon stage, how are we going to continue? What kind of structure are we going to have? Then you have the stability stage. Then you have the challenges, the questioning, the are we going to make it? Are we meant to be? Then if you make it out of that, it's the adjustment stage, the commitment stage, the recommitment stage, the co-creation stage. Like, all of these stages happen. And so if you find yourself in the grasp of temptation, and part of the reason you are there is because you might be in one of those more challenging stages, know that it is not going to last. It is a normal part of relationships. It is a normal part of how things work. And the goal is to get through that stage, excuse me, with your spouse to the best of your ability. And then eventually you're going to be back in a good state. So don't give up, and don't give in because things are a little rocky. That's a little normal. I remember when I first got married, I don't know if it was, you know, one of you or both of you that told me, hey, year one is going to be a little rough. I took that to heart. And when year one happened, it was rough. But I remember that, you know what, such and such told me this would happen. Such and such told me that would happen. And as these things were unfolding in year one, where I was probably about to drive my wife crazy, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is just a part of year one. We just got to get through year one. And that's how I looked at it. I didn't let the struggles of my first year in marriage lead me to wanting to quit, because everybody told me that is a normal part of the adjustment process in year one.
Yeah. I mean, like, just saying, I mean, there's those phases, those chapters, those pages in your narrative of your marriage, and that they're temporary. And it's interesting because, you know, as men, we want things to go at a certain pace. Like, if we feel like, you know, year one, things are rocky, or, you know, we're ready. Okay, year two, we're going to be good. I'm ready to move on. But just like we said earlier, you'll never understand a woman.
Yeah.
So a woman may, in year six, bring up something from year one.
Yeah.
And hold that against you for 2 weeks. And then you might lash out a certain way. And then next thing you know, it turns into 3 months. And so, you know, you always have to be cognizant that, you know, you have to stay focused on what that goal is, and what, you know, who we are as a married couple, and what our common purpose is. And the other piece of it is that we're human. So mistakes will happen in a marriage. To what magnitude, what degree, is between the couple, but there are going to be mistakes. And navigating those mistakes and understanding that if you did make a mistake, you have to own it. Understand that the wife will process and heal and grow from that at her own rate and pace.
Yeah.
And help facilitate the healing versus forcing the healing in your own time and space. And on the other hand, when you make a mistake, correct it. Try right. to find ways to correct that mistake and be intentional and consistent with that correction. Just like school, you know, you're not going to make the same mistake twice. That should be something you try to do as a married man, you know, and try to vow to do that. And, you know, because we are human. Things will happen.
Yeah.
But it's how you respond and react and grow that keeps that marriage alive and strong.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, Barry, I want to piggyback on what you were saying and how, you know, it's in stages and relationships goes in stages and whatnot. And I remember a quote I heard a while back, and I may be misquoted it. I heard somebody say it. He heard somebody say it, so I'm going to try to quote it. Barry, you may know it.
Okay.
And it's most people use it in business far as like, well, I think the quote is, everybody can be successful. They just don't stick around
long enough to achieve it.
To achieve it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's pretty much it. Okay. But yeah, that's pretty much what I mean. You can use that in business, in your relationship as well.
Yes, sir.
Stick around, man. Things get better. You know, relationship have problems. Like Terrence said, people, we make mistakes or whatnot, but you know, it'll get better. So, you know, most people nowadays, people are just leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. First sign of trouble. I'm out.
Of trouble. Yeah. So that's why they just don't stick around. So, yeah. I just wanted to piggyback on what you said.
Yeah. I think about this. When you're dealing with temptation, expect to fight daily.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says this. This is Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want. Some translations say they warreth against each other. This warreth against each other, this the Spirit in your flesh, the Spirit being the Holy Spirit, your conscience based off of what is created through biblical understanding and teachings, warring against your flesh, the things that you want to do that you know is not right, that war takes place on a daily basis. It is constant and it is consistent. And you have to understand that to win, you got to expect to fight daily. Think about this, especially as it relates to cheating. You could be married 10,000 days. And out of those 10,000 days, 9,999, you could win and beat temptation. But that one day out of those 10,000 days that you've been married, that one day could be the day that you give in. And it could be that one day out of those 10,000 that totally destroys everything. That one day, that one mistake, that 1 second, that 1 hour, whatever the case it is, out of all those days can totally mess up everything. You have to expect a daily fight. And in that fight, the urge to cheat or the urge to give in to temptation or whatever the case is, it does not automatically go away. Even for a man or a woman who got caught cheating. And let's just say that somehow or another, the man or the woman who got caught cheating, they were able to go through the proper healing process with their husband or their wife, and they kept their family intact. They kept their marriage intact. Do you think they're never going to be tempted to cheat again? No, it doesn't go away. Even if you got caught one time, it doesn't go away. You have to expect a daily fight. And to do that, you have to constantly feed your spirit the right stuff. That's one of the reasons we say, don't look. Because if you are constantly looking, you're feeding your flesh. And at some point, your flesh is going to want some substance. Your flesh is going to be like, all right, you've been feeding me thoughts long enough. I'm full off of thoughts. I need some substance.
The Bible says, now I think it was Jesus that said, if you thought it, then you may as well have committed the act or something. Yeah. Isn't that in the Bible?
Yeah.
You committed fornication in your heart. Yeah.
So the thought itself, and you know, obviously we think a lot of things, and you know, it's not saying that you're going to hell just because of thoughts. I mean, yeah, thoughts are something that we can say, well, that's too hard to even really manage. But it opens the conversation for, like you said, if you look, or if you go in a situation, or if you go into an environment that creates the opportunity and avenue for thoughts, you know, so you have to be careful and cognizant of what you're doing that will create thoughts or lead to thoughts, because thoughts ultimately can lead to more than that, which is what you want to avoid.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember being so young, dumb, and full of you know what. I remember making so many mistakes and really, really trying to like figure it out and contend with temptation and wanting so bad to win. I think we've all had this experience in many different ways. I remember being in church services, and I'm talking about good old fashioned church services. Praise was good. The worship was good. Certainly the most important aspect, the preaching was good. People were getting delivered, set free, saved, whatever the case was. I mean, just those church services where you know you've been in the presence of God and you know that you are a different person when you walk out. You walk out with strength. You walk out feeling refreshed. You walk out in a great place spiritually. Then after being in church for 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours, depending on some of our church services. After all of that, man, you get home and while you're relaxing, sometimes reflecting on the service, watching football game, I don't know, eating chicken, laughing, talking with your family, whatever the case is, out of nowhere, you get a text. Or you see something that throws you off. And even after this powerful move of God, you can find yourself in a position where now you're forgetting everything that you just heard or experienced in church. You have to understand that temptation doesn't care where you've been, what you've heard, or what you've seen, or who you are. It does not. Man, we could go on and on and on about some of this stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and get ready to bring this to a close. One thing I want to bring up, if you're having a conversation with somebody and you think it might be going south, or it could be, or there could be something there, bring up your wife, man. Bring up your wife. See how that person responds. All right? Because you can almost tell instantly what's what by how they respond to you bringing up your wife. You can. Now, some are slick. I will say this. Some are just indulge more and more in that conversation and just start talking about your wife and wanting to know more and more about her.
I'm just about to say, because.
But really, they're trying to find their angle inside. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to a whole other conversation right now. Yeah. I mean, the motive for asking about your wife, how she doing?
Yeah. Oh, I want to meet her.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, I want to meet her.
I always bring up my wife. You know, I ain't going to shy away. I'm going to call her by name.
Yep.
Talk about her at work. You know.
Yeah.
I don't leave room for anybody to think that, you know, she's not in my life.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
But Terrence.
Huh?
By you doing that, though, that makes it worse sometimes.
You think so?
They like, oh, man, he's taking care of his wife. He loves his wife and all this stuff. But, you know, women love that, man.
That's yeah. true. That's true.
No.
Yep.
Something slick, man. Some right. won't shy away from that conversation at all. Others, and this is where you got to have good discernment, man, because others might shy away and you can feel like the atmosphere change when you bring up your wife, the mood yeah. of the conversation. So then it's like, oh, okay, well then what were you thinking? Like, you know, what's really going on here? So you just, but you won't know until you bring up your spouse.
Right.
Bring up your spouse and see how they react. They may be neutral. They may go too far to the right. They might go too far to the left. But if you bring up your spouse and you keep your spouse in the forefront of all conversations, when they walk in your office, they should see pictures, should always have your wedding ring on. You know what I mean? There should never be any question about whether or not we're married. Because those things can be a deterrent. Can be. And in some aspects, as Josh just said, sometimes it makes you more attractive. Because they see the relationship you have. And there may be, I don't want to say jealousy, but they may want that. Or they may want to interrupt that.
Right.
You just never know. But certainly bring up your spouse. Gentlemen, we're going to wrap this up. By me asking the question, and it's rhetorical, I know, but I'm asking you two, but I'm also asking all the listeners, is it worth it? Is it? Is it worth it? Those few minutes, several minutes, those several nights, several days, however long it may last. If you give in to temptation, is it worth it? A couple of days of flirting, courting, maybe add in some days of dating. Then maybe you give in and you actually do, you give, I should say you give in more, because if you are flirting and dating and going out on dates outside of your marriage, you've already given in. But then maybe you go all the way. Maybe you have sex with somebody you're not married to. And then eventually you go back to your spouse. Is it worth it? Do you at that point say, I'm going to keep this secret. I'm going to take this to my grave. I'm never going to tell my spouse. Or if you're a Christian, I know the Holy Spirit is going to be convicting you and convicting you to the point where you're going to have to confess, or you're likely to confess. Is it worth it? Is it worth the pain that she'll feel? Shucks, the pain that you'll feel, the guilt, is that unwanted accomplishment worth it? I'm leaving you with this quote from the guy we often called him the Big Diesel, Superman, Shaq. I have no idea how much Shaq is worth now, but he's worth, is Shaq a billionaire? If he's not, he's got to be close to it. I know he's worth, let's just say, even if he's not close, Shaq is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's worth. He's a basketball player, NBA champion. He's been in movies, music. He's right now mostly known for being a TV analyst for Inside the NBA on TNT. He's got all kinds of businesses. Shaq has children. He was married once. All of these things. And when somebody asks Shaq about his first marriage, right? Actually, I think it's his only marriage, right? I think Shaq has only been married one time. When somebody asks him about his marriage and how they divorced, and his first wife is married to a pastor now. That's a whole nother topic subject. He said this. He said, "It is not worth it. I lost my family over cheating. I did it, and I was the best at it. However, the happiest days of my life was coming home hearing my six kids say, Daddy. Forget the championships, cars, and the money. They mean nothing in comparison. When I lost my family, I was so down. I built a 70,000 square foot home for my family, and I was all alone in it. I lost it all being stupid. That's the end of that quote from Shaq. Wow. 70,000 square foot is half the size of a Walmart. Think about how big that is. Hundreds of millions of dollars, all the championships, money, fame, fortune, businesses. Shaq could walk the streets even now in his 40s or 50s, however old he is. And, you know, women will come to him in droves because of who he is. And he still says, it is not and was not worth it.
Wow. That says a lot. Just says a lot. That lets you know money and fame and friends, and doing all this other stuff or what he did doesn't make him feel good or make him feel better about, losing his family. It says a lot, man. It's just something to think about. It's just something to think about and to keep in your mind.
We may not have, and of course we don't, a 70,000 square foot home. Your home could be 800 square foot, 3,000, 4,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever the case is. But still, Shaq said it was not worth it. Lost it all. The Bible says this. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? This is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 through 29. It goes on to say, can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is the man who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. It is not worth it. It is not worth it. Somehow, the person you're having an affair with, or maybe even your family, is going to get burned. And it's hard because in the midst of temptation, you're not thinking about any of these things. You're not thinking about scriptures. Some might be, but most aren't. You're not even thinking about how your wife may feel. You're just thinking about that feeling. There's this feeling in me that's creating this tension, oftentimes the sexual tension, and I want it to release it. That's what you're thinking about. What is the last piece of advice we want to give to you as it relates to dealing with temptation? Pray. If you don't do nothing else, if you don't remember the scriptures, if you don't remember some of the words of advice that we've given or others have given, because a lot of things we say we've gotten advice from others and people who've been married a lot longer, you know the words of prayer. Even if it's just, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Or Lord, have mercy. Whatever. Whatever it is, you know those words. Pray and then sit back and let God help you. Because he would. Because it is not worth it. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. We'll see you next time on the Groom's Room Podcast. Special thanks to Mr. Chris Blue for allowing us to use the music from his One Light Christmas album. Be sure to check it out, available on all major music networks. Also, follow him on Instagram at Chris B Live.